From God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The kids' activity today is listening to me. one of my favorite things about the New Zealand Prayer Book is when it uses this passage as one of the devotions, it swaps out the snake with a wetter. So who of you fathers will give your children a wetter if they ask you for fish? And I absolutely love that. Anyways, I've got the honor today, as I said, to finish off this unplanned series on prayer. We've heard from Ian to pray in the Spirit, and we've heard from Paul to make time for prayer and pray in faith. And today, I will round this all off by answering the question, how should we pray? I was just at the pool, and I was doing my laps with Josh. And we took a little break and we discussed the sermon. And he said, basically, Ben, what you're saying is you could have just printed out a massive billboard from Nike where it just says, just do it. And just held it up. Today the topic is, how do we pray? And then I just hold it up, just do it. We have two readings today. And I want to start by looking at the Colossians reading and drawing some important thoughts and ideas from that to then apply and move on to the teaching of Jesus on prayer. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. And this is important in all areas of life, but especially in prayer. Do not listen to the fools who think they know the way to pray, but listen to the instructions of our Lord and look at the prayer life of Jesus. For you were buried with Christ even when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Jesus was raised from the dead by the grace and the love of the Father. And in the same way, we have died in our baptism and have been raised into a new life that is joined with the Messiah Jesus. Our old self has been killed, and Jesus now lives in us. We are sharing in the mighty power of God. The power that we're talking about is the same power that created the whole universe and then saved it on the cross by defeating the powers of darkness. We are no longer ruled by sin, but by Jesus. So taking this into the gospel passage, first we should learn from Jesus how we pray. We should look at what he does and listen to those who have learned from him. Secondly, we have joined in Jesus' death, and Jesus now lives in us, which thirdly results in the almighty power of God living in us. The first thing we note when looking at the gospel passage is that Jesus is praying and he's seen praying. And there must be something so impressive and powerful about that, that one of his disciples asks him, "Teacher, teach us how to pray in this way." And he answers, "Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation." So let's go bit by bit through this. But before we start, Jesus is not teaching that this is the only prayer, that this is the one prayer that you always have to pray. It's rather a bit like in the one cookbook that I have. there are some recipes that you have to follow step by step for the recipe to work. And then there are others that are called blueprints, where it gives you an idea of what sort of things you need for it to become a nutritious meal. And we'll just say, oh, you need about 200 grams of something green, and you'll be fine. And in the same way, Jesus is teaching us here. Yeah? It's a way that we can pray effectively on our own. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. At the beginning, we prayed the psalm. And how does it start? I give you thanks, Lord, with all my heart. And then we sang a song, and that was called praise. Start your prayers with praise. I was listening to an interview by the most amazing Abraham Joshua Heschel, who is a Polish or was a Polish-American rabbi and the leading Jewish theologian of the last century. He specialized in the prophets and in Jewish mysticism. And he was really good friends with Martin Luther King, who called him a great prophet and one of the great men. And this rabbi said, when asked, what is the purpose of prayer? He says, the primary purpose of prayer is worship, is praise. When we stand in the presence of our God, we often can't do anything else but praise him. When I stand there in the rows and the priest speaks the liturgy of the Blessed Sacrament, and when I then go up and receive the elements, there's nothing else that I can do but praise God for his son's sacrifice and the beauty of this sacrament. When you start your prayer with praise, the world will seem just that little bit better already, because it puts it into perspective. We are reminded that Jesus is the ruler of this world, and he is in us. And secondly, it reminds us that it is not about us. It's about the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you. We are in a battle, and even though the powers of darkness have been defeated, we are still fighting against evil. We are fighting against sin. We are fighting against injustice and unrighteousness in the world. And if we want to prevail and make this world a better place, we need to pray for the kingdom to come. It's not about us. It's about worshiping God and praying for his kingdom. Give us each day the food we need. Then we can ask for ourselves and others. We can intercede with God on behalf of others and ask for what it is that we need on that specific day. May it be bread or something else. Your Father, your loving Father, knows exactly what bread you need. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Then we should ask for forgiveness, because we all fall short of the glory of God and we need his mercy. And just as important, we also need to forgive. Because if we do not forgive, how can God forgive us? If we close the door of forgiveness, how is God going to come in through that? And don't let us yield to temptation. Lastly, we pray that we may not be led into temptation. But Jesus knew that there will be trial and temptations. What he's saying is that we need to bring those times to God so that we do not end up going through them on our own, which might cause us, as the NLT puts it, to yield to temptation. Because you will be tempted. But it is important to fight the temptation and walk along the narrow path which leads to righteousness. But neither the reading nor Jesus' teaching end here. He has one more thing to say. Be persistent. Not because the neighbor asked so very nicely did he give him the food, but because he persevered, because he kept knocking and knocking and knocking. Never stop praying. Prayer because we have been born anew and share in the godliness of Jesus is one of the most powerful tools we have in this battle. You can read the Bible as much as you want, but without prayer, how are you going to understand it? You can speak and preach the gospel as much as you want, but without prayer, how will it touch the hearts of those who hear it? In prayer, we connect to our God, our Father in heaven. In prayer, he works with us, he forms us, he teaches and rebukes us. In prayer, we can kneel in front of him and worship. We can plead, we can complain, we can shout in joy and in anger. Prayer is probably the most important thing. And the words you use do not matter as much as the fact that you do it. Nike sign, just do it. If all else fails, pray the Lord's Prayer or just be silent. Just pray with your silence. And pray in your households, with your family and with your flatmates. Pray on your own as Jesus did in silence in your room. Get away from the busyness of life and just sit at Jesus' feet. Pray in your house churches. And leaders of house churches and parish communities, pray. Pray before, pray after, pray for your group, pray for those who come along. Before every chaos session, so that's our intermediates on a Thursday, we get together as the leaders and we pray. And we lift up each and every one of the young people. And after the session, we come back together and we pray. And we pray and we lift up each and every one of the young people. And what is going to happen is that God is going to do his thing. One of the young people who came along has never been much interested in the Bible engagement we do. He mostly tried to get out of it as much as he can. And recently he has started reading his Action Bible, being engaged in those Bible engagements, and asking his friends and us spiritual questions. Never stop praying. Whatever you do, do not stop praying. As Timothy Keller says, prayer is like a shower. You cannot become clean one drop at a time. You have the blueprint. So my answer to the question, how to pray, is look at Jesus and just do it. Don't worry about what you should say, just do it. And the peace of Christ, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. And what we're going to do now is pray. So if I can have Genevieve come up and lead us in our intercessory prayers.
Jesus Christ, you are the life and we are yours. You are with us and you make us better so that we can make the world a better place. Your light over